Plastic-Free July is a global movement that helps millions of people to be part of the solution to plastic pollution by reducing single-use plastic waste and keeping it out of the environment. A group in Cook County is participating, as well as offering a variety of events and workshops in Grand Marais. Cindy Hagley of Minnesota Sea Grant will present at North House Folk School on Saturday evening, July 13th, and she joins us now by phone. Welcome, Cindy.
Hi, sir.
So first, can you just tell us, for our listeners that don't know about you, can you tell us a little bit about Minnesota Sea Grant and its history?
Sure. It's been in Minnesota for somewhere around 30 years, a little bit more. And it sounds, because its name has S-E-A in it, like it's got to be only in an ocean, but it turns out that our Great Lakes are considered inland seas and part of the international shipping network, so they are considered acceptable places for Sea Grant. Sea Grant does research and shares that research with people living and working in the coastal area of the Great Lakes in order to help manage resources better and help people run their business better in a variety of ways.
And this is not the only one. If I understand correctly, there are 33 such programs?
Yes, they're in most of the coastal states and some of the, like Puerto Rico and Virgin Islands and a few other places.
And it's funded largely by NOAA?
Yes, it's under NOAA. It's $2 of federal money for $1 of state money.
Ah.
There's a good mutually beneficial relationship that
Got
helps
it.
Us.
And,
a lot.
And you are headquartered with the University of Minnesota.
Yes, in Duluth, right.
Got it.
But I have a presence in the Twin Cities.
Okay. So who are you at Minnesota Sea Grant?
What we have in terms of actual full-time paid staff are some administrators, the director, and then we have a variety of outreach people. So I have a background in aquatic research, but now do mostly outreach, which means I go out and meet with local community members and find out what kinds of needs they have. Research helps solve, and also do a lot of teaching just about environmental concerns and better ways of doing things that are better for the environment. Trying to look for win-win solutions. I work a lot with educators doing professional development workshops. For example, this summer we're taking 16 Wisconsin and Minnesota teachers out on the three-masted schooner, the Dennis Sullivan. We'll be getting on boat in Michigan and taking it to Duluth just in time for the Tall Ships Festival. So we get to do some really fun things, and we'll learn a whole lot about traditional uses and management of natural resources, as well as how Western science understands what's going on in our lake stream. So I get to do a real variety of things.
You get to have
and
a lot
talking
of
to you. Yeah. I do, yeah.
You get to have a lot of fun.
That's right.
How many people can say that about their jobs, huh?
I know, and I do get to come up to Grand Marais, which is always a nice thing. So.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll move on to that. Plastic-Free July is this global movement, and you've got a presentation you're doing with a lot of P's in it, The Path from Practical Plastic to Plastic Pandemic.
And I plan to start my talk by seeing how many can stop messing it up. I'm kidding. I was just kidding.
But seriously, then, can you tell us about plastics in Lake Superior?
Sure. We hear and read continuously about plastics in the ocean, right? What we don't necessarily know as much about, and in fact scientists don't know quite as much about, is how much plastic do we have in the Great Lakes, where are they, and what kinds of impacts can they have. Some things are pretty obvious. Some things are going to require a lot of research, and only a small amount of research has been done yet. So it's kind of a really up-and-coming field in terms of what we know and don't know in the Great Lakes, and just in what ways and how harmful are the plastics that are in the Lakes. I will give you a teaser. Scientists have found there's a review paper that shows that in some places in the Great Lakes, surface water densities of plastics are as dense as what we hear about in the, you know, the great garbage patch in the Pacific Ocean and other wow. places. So we certainly have a big issue, and in fact, we are very close to our Great Lake water, so there could be some more significant impact.
And plastic, as inert as we think of it when we're holding on to a piece of plastic, once it's broken down into tiny little pieces, is not so inert, right?
Well, it's not the plastic necessarily itself. It's the chemicals that are associated with it. Sometimes there's a surface layer put on plastic. And then it's the plastic, as it breaks down smaller and smaller, it gets ingested by a variety of organisms, and some chemicals stick to it. So there's a whole bunch of ways that it changes how chemicals move through our aquatic systems and into and fish and other critters. So there's a lot to be known. It's a pretty complicated subject.
Right.
But fascinating.
So yeah, if those toxins bind onto tiny little pieces of plastic and get ingested in the food chain, then potentially can concentrate some of those toxins that otherwise might not have been concentrated in the food chain, mm-hmm. right?
How? You know, there's a variety of other things, too, that we're just sort of touching the surface of doing the research to really know the relationship.
Yeah. How are these plastics even getting into the water?
Primarily, you would guess. So they're either pre-industrial or pre-fabrication, what they call nurdles, little tiny balls that are used to make everything that's made out of plastic, coming from industry. When we think we are disposing our stuff properly, we aren't necessarily getting the rates of recycling that we think we are. There's just a lot of consumer-driven plastics that end up in the environment. There's a variety of ways. And actually, some of that, we do know a little bit about. I'll talk about that during the talk. More than 80% of the people-generated litter that is collected in the Great Lakes and citizen cleanup and things like that is typically plastic. So it's a lot.
Wow. Yeah. And I'm sure some of it is from people just deliberately tossing stuff, but it sounds like some of the plastic that gets into the environment is not from people just being reckless about tossing things out their car window as they're driving along.
No, I don't think so. You know, it'd be interesting if somebody ever is able to do the study to figure out really what the origin is of all the debris we see. And you can pick up a lot of it, but a lot of it's already, you know, sun starts to break it apart. Fortunately, not decompose it into its, you know, basic building materials, but breaks it into smaller and smaller pieces,
yeah.
which makes it very easy for it to move into the environment.
So, plastic pandemic. What do you mean by that term?
There's a graph I bumped into that's fascinating because it was the 1950s when plastics first, you know, really were invented and became part of everyday items. And the graph of how plastic use has increased since then is exponential. And I think one of the really important questions we need to ask ourselves is which of these uses is essential? It really is enriching the way we live and work in the world, and which are just conveniences or are overkill or, you know, I think we have to get really critical about our choices. And that's one of the things I've been thinking about a lot and hoping to get people to talk about it.
Yeah. Are you participating in Plastic Free July personally?
Oh, I started a little time before July.
Well, tell us about that then.
Well, I have rules for myself. I would never, ever buy a water bottle. Yeah, I mean, water in a bottle. Things like that, I'm trying to be really cautious of when I buy products. Is there an alternative that doesn't have a single-use plastic associated with it? You know, and giving this talk is part of my commitment to trying to change things, doing my outreach job and trying to do it in a way that influences a few other people or helps them think more critically about them. I don't know what else, you know, it's kind of like my belief is you reach one person, that one person becomes a convert, and they reach a couple people. We just have to get the ground full of energy.
And so I hear some people using the 3 R's, some people using the 4 R's of what we can do as individuals. Of everybody seems to agree with reduce, reuse, recycle, and then the 4th R is refuse, because it has almost become ubiquitous that sometimes you're having plastic pushed on you by various merchants, you know, straws stuck in your glass of water without you even asking for it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the awareness and the ability to change is a very much incremental process. And part of that is understanding that there are significant impacts.
Yeah.
Interesting that some, you know, countries that are really very impoverished are banning plastic bags in Africa. And they're doing it because they can't escape what a big problem is.
Huh.
We clean up. We have who are to clean up. We have a whole lot of... system is built around keeping our, you know, environment looking pretty decent, which is a luxury task in Minnesota, I think.
Right. Right. People at least seem to pay some attention, and at least a lot of the trash gets collected as trash or as recycling.
Yeah, and so, you know, we kind of have, it's really easy to have an out of sight, out of mind attitude. Now, it's to me like I put my plastic into a recycling bin and the recycling truck comes, so I must be doing everything I can. It's a little bit of critical analysis, and I think the refuse is a really important part of that.
Yeah, yeah. What more can we do as individuals?
Yeah, well, you have to come to my talk.
That's right, which is on July 13th at 7:30 p.m. at the North House Folk School, Red Building. And is there a charge for that talk?
Well, I'm hoping to do a little bit of our own. We're going to have some samples that we'll look at.
Okay.
In terms of the microplastics, the ones that we can easily see. I think that'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, you look at our beautiful Lake Superior and think it's so pristine, but under the microscope, you may see the things that we've been doing to it. Well, we have been talking with Cindy Bagley from Minnesota Sea Grant about... We've been talking to Cindy Bagley from Minnesota Sea Grant about Plastic Free July. You can learn more about Plastic Free July, which is a global movement, on the internet by going to plasticfreejuly.org. You can learn more about Sea Grant by going to seagrant.umn.edu. Cindy, is there anything else you'd like to share with us this evening?
Not really. I've really enjoyed talking with you, and I'll look forward to coming up next week.
Yeah, thank you so much for all you're doing. Thanks for joining us
tonight.
Bye.